Okay, go with me in your Bibles to John chapter 15, verse 8. John chapter 15, verse 8. I want to talk to you this morning about herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Let's just read it together. John 15, verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. In my daily devotionals, what I've been doing is praying through John chapter 15. There's so much there that reveals God's heart and the desire of God's heart. And what I've been doing is just taking a verse and reading and praying and just meditating on it and really asking the Lord to help me apply it to my life. And this morning, I just want to share with you a few truths out of John 15, verse 8, that the Lord has spoken to my heart, and I have a confidence in my heart this morning that this is what He would want us to bring this morning to you. What I want to do is I want to read verse 8 again, and then I want to break it down. There's really just three parts here in this verse, and I want to break it down together and just share out of this verse. John 15:8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So in John 15:8, Jesus begins by saying, herein is my Father glorified. And this tells us very clearly that the Lord wants to be glorified in and through my life, and that the Lord wants to be glorified in and through your life. It makes it very plain to us that God wants to be glorified through His people. Now, the word glorified there, it's a Greek word, and as we heard Pastor Carter mention one time, it means to be brought to reputation. So this simply means that through each one of our lives, God desires to be brought to reputation. That through each one of our lives, the world around us sees that God is and that He is a mighty God. That through our lives, the world encounters the heart of God and they begin to understand who God is. And they also begin to see that He is an awesome, mighty God. That they see the Lord working powerfully within our hearts and powerfully within our lives. And they have an encounter that God is an awesome and a mighty God. The Lord desires that through each one of us to be glorified. That people see His glory in our lives. That is the passion of God's heart. The desire of God's heart is that He be glorified through His people. Then Jesus goes on to say, He says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So God is glorified when His people bear abundant fruit, when abundant fruit is produced within the lives and the heart of His people. The scripture is saying here that Jesus is brought to reputation in the earth when His people see the abundant fruit that is within our lives. Beloved, more than anything else, what impacts the lives of people, what impacts their hearts more than anything else, and what brings God to reputation more than anything else, is a life that is continually changing from glory to glory. A life that is becoming more Christ-like. More than anything else, that is what impacts people's heart and people's lives, the world around us. Now, isn't it interesting here in John 15:8 that Jesus doesn't say, herein is my Father glorified, that you perform great miracles and astound the people with signs and wonders. He didn't say that. And I believe one of the things that Jesus is saying here is the greatest miracle of all is a life that is continually being transformed and changed by God and by the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, nothing causes the world to see God's awesome power more than a transformed life. Nothing causes the world to stand up and take notice than a life that has been changed, genuinely changed. And then Jesus goes on to say in John 15:8, He says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So when Jesus says that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples, to me this speaks two things. First of all, it tells us that a disciple is called for this very reason, to bear fruit that glorifies God. That is one of the sole purposes why a disciple is called, to bear fruit that glorifies the Lord. And I believe with all my heart, when someone truly embraces Christ with all of their heart, there comes a desire in their heart, a genuine desire in their heart. And that desire is to be conformed to the image of Christ. That when someone truly embraces Christ, the prayer that is continually in their heart and upon their lips is simply a prayer asking the Father that His Holy Spirit would work in our heart and work in our lives, that the Spirit of God would produce fruit within us that gives glory and honor to God. I truly believe that when you wholly embrace the Lord with all of your heart, this prayer and this desire will find its place in your heart, because that is the calling of a disciple, to bear fruit that brings honor and glory to the Lord. Secondly, when Jesus says that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciple, I believe this is also telling us that the evidence that one is truly a disciple is fruit. There is no such thing as a fruitless disciple. No such thing as a fruitless disciple. You can tell the evidence of a disciple because there's a fruit being produced in their life. Someone who truly loves the Lord and has yielded their life to Him will change. They will bear fruit. Brothers and sisters, this corrupt nature within us cannot resist or restrain the grace of God and the power of God. We will change when we have embraced Christ, and fruit will be produced within our lives. So with all this in mind, let's ask a question. Well, then how do we bear fruit in our lives? Well, there's a few important truths that we could talk about, but there's really one that's on my heart this morning. And that's found in verse 7, John 15, verse 7. The Lord says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. And brothers and sisters, we have to keep this in the context. Jesus is talking about desiring and praying that fruit would be produced within our lives. That's the context of the scripture. And Jesus says something in verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And that is really what is on my heart this morning. And my word abides in you. So how do we bear fruit? We bear fruit by spending quality time in God's word. We bear fruit by daily setting time aside to read and ponder the Word of God. We bear fruit by daily getting into our Bible with a prayer on our heart. And the prayer is simply this: God, please take your Word and reveal yourself to me. Lord, you say in your Word that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That the very essence of our heart is revealed in our words. And Lord, this is your Word, so this is the very essence of your heart. And God, I'm asking you, Lord, as I open up this word, I'm not just interested in learning biblical truths and facts. There's a place for that. But more than anything, I want you to take your word and I want you to reveal your heart to me. Brothers and sisters, we bear fruit by getting in the word of God and seeking God's heart in his word. But what we have to understand, when Jesus says it comes by abiding in his word, abiding in God's Word means more than just reading our Bibles. Abiding in the Word of God means much more than just reading our Bibles. Well, what does it mean? Well, there's three things on my heart. Three things the Lord has put on my heart. First of all, it means treasuring God's Word more than anything else in this world. God's Word abiding in our hearts means that we treasure His Word. David says in the Psalms, he says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He says in Psalm 119, verse 97, he says, oh, how I love thy law. It is the meditation all the day. Jeremiah says in his book, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy words were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So God's Word abiding in us means we treasure the Word of God with all of our hearts. Secondly, God's Word abiding in us, it means obeying and applying His Word to our hearts. James says in James 1:22, he says, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So according to James, disobedience in the heart is the evidence of a heart that is deceived. It's the evidence of a deceived heart. And there's many ways that we can go with. There's many things that we can talk about, but keeping it in the context, it means that if we are not obeying the word, then we may think we are changing. We may think that it's producing fruit in our lives, but in reality, it is not. It's not. See, it is obedience to the word that causes the word to become fruitful in our lives. You cannot separate the power of the word from obedience to the word. It is through obeying the word that the power of God is released in our hearts to produce fruit. It's in the obedience. And I'm reminded what Jesus said to the Pharisees in the Gospel of Mark. He said to them, he said, you make the word of God of none effect through your tradition. And that word none effect is a Greek word, and it means absolutely powerless. Jesus said, you make the word of God powerless through your tradition. So in other words, Jesus is saying, because you traded heartfelt obedience for a vain show of religion, you made God's word powerless in your lives. The power of God's word to work in our hearts is released in our obedience, not through our vain religious display. So God's word abiding in our hearts means more than just reading the word and hearing the word. It means applying and obeying the word of the Lord. That is, you can't separate obedience and the power of God's word. It's only as we obey the word that the power of the word is released within our hearts and it changes us. And number three, it's not only obeying and applying it to our hearts, but it means obeying and applying all of it to our hearts. It means when the Holy Spirit speaks something to our hearts out of his word and it requires an act of obedience, we do not make excuses why we cannot obey, but we ask the Lord to help us and we receive his grace to obey. Brothers and sisters, in God's word, there are some seemingly tough commandments. There are commandments that are going to cost us our pride. There are commandments that are going to cost us our will. There are commandments that are going to cost us our selfish desires. There are commandments that are going to cost us our feelings and our emotions. There's commandments that's going to cost us our own personal agendas. The Lord commands us in his word. He commands us to love our enemies. He commands us to forgive those who have deeply hurt us. He commands us to forsake our own lives and personal agendas and seek his will for our lives. He commands us to mortify the deeds of the flesh and to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. He commands us not to hold grudges and resentment, but to walk in a sacrificial love and forgive those that have wounded us. Beloved, these can be tough to do, but we have to remember these are commandments, not options. These are commandments, not options. And the word of God abiding in us means that we just do not obey and apply his word to our hearts. We obey and apply all of his word to our hearts if we're going to be fruitful in this walk with the Lord. But at the same time, when we love the Lord and want to do what is pleasing to him, we find that his grace is sufficient to obey. And with this obedience comes great joy and peace and freedom in the heart. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In fact, they're the very opposite of grievous. They're freedom and they're life. Brothers and sisters, even the tough commandments, those commandments that can just seem tough to our hearts and they're going to cost us our pride and our will and our emotions and our own personal rights, what we think are rights to. Even when we embrace these commandments, there's such life and there's such freedom that comes into our hearts. They're not grievous, they're life. So with all these things in mind, I want to ask some heart-probing questions. This has been a very simple sermon. Simple truths, not hard to understand, but it's the passion of God's heart that his people be fruitful. So with all these things in mind, let's ask some heart-probing questions. First of all, we are the sole purpose, we are a disciple for the sole purpose of bearing fruit that brings the Lord glory and honor. Is there anything else in our lives that mean more to us than glorifying the Lord? Is there anything else in our lives that means more to us than bearing fruit that brings honor to the Lord? Going back to last week's message, we can only glorify the Lord as we embrace his will for our life. We can only truly glorify the Lord as we make an altar in our hearts and turn from our path and begin to seek God's path for our life. So the question is, have we truly surrendered our wills to Him and sought His will for our life above everything else? God is not going to glorify Himself through our own personal wants, desires, and agendas. He will glorify Himself through us only as we walk out His will for our lives. So the first heart-probing question is this. Is there anything else in our lives that means more to us than glorifying the Lord? Well, the question, the answer to that is, have we truly made an altar in our heart, desiring His will above our own? Going along with this, this came to my thoughts, talking about holy living for the will of God. Have we put conditions to God about how we're going to serve Him? I know a minister right now, very close to my heart, and his wife put a condition to him. She said, we can serve the Lord and be in ministry, but I'm not leaving home, I'm not leaving town, because I'm not leaving my family. She put a condition on the Lord. She put a condition on the Lord's will. Have we put conditions, given conditions to the Lord about where I would serve you, how I would serve you, what costs I'm willing to serve you? Or have we truly made an altar in our heart and said, no conditions, Lord. Whatever your will is, your will be done. Brothers and sisters, we can't produce fruit, abundant fruit in our life until we have made this altar in our hearts, whatever the cost. Secondly, we said God's word abiding in us means treasuring God's word more than anything else in this world. Again, David says in the Psalms, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Is this really true in our lives? Do we love and spend quality time in God's word, or are we too busy trying to prosper ourselves, trying to prosper our business? When David talks about better than gold and silver means finances, wealth, riches. Does spending quality time mean more to us than working overtime, or because we just desire to prosper ourselves or to prosper our business or things like this? Listen, I've worked in furniture plants. There are times you have to work overtime. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just asking about where is our desire? Do we truly delight in the word of the Lord more than anything else? Can we say with David, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. I treasure your word, Lord. Do we have little time for God's word because other things are more important? We said that God's word abiding in us means we not only hear it, but we apply it to our hearts and our lives. So the question is, are we harboring any known disobedience in our lives? Are we excusing any small disobedience in our lives? Just bear with me. There's a truth I want to bring out that I brought out before. But Song of Solomon says the small foxes spoil the vine. Notice the writer didn't say the small fox spoils the vine. He said the small foxes spoils the vine. In other words, what he's saying is that is when we begin to tolerate one little area of disobedience, then we just begin to tolerate disobedience. That if we begin to allow one little known area of disobedience, then before long there's going to be two, then there's going to be three, then there's going to be four, because we just begin to tolerate small known disobedience in our life. So the question again is, are we excusing any small disobedience in our lives? And fourthly, we said that God's word abiding in us not only means applying it to our hearts, but applying all of it to our hearts. Is there any commandments we've hardened our heart to? Are we harboring resentment and unforgiveness toward anyone? Are we mortifying the deeds of the body, or are we harboring secret sin in our life? Have we truly taken up our cross, embracing God's will for our life over our own? These can be tough, but if we truly love the Lord, we can obey with His help. And in obeying, we experience the life that is in God's commandments. So the question is again, have we hardened our hearts to any of His commandments that will stifle the fruit in our lives? I feel from the Lord, before we have our altar call, I really feel from the Lord just to end with a word of encouragement this morning. So go with me to Philippians chapter 1, familiar verse. We're going to look at verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is a wonderful promise. Right here in this scripture, the Lord promises to daily be faithful to work in our heart and our lives. The Lord is telling us that we can be confident that he is producing fruit, abundant fruit, in our heart and our life for his glory. But sometimes when we're going through trials or hard times, we become discouraged because we do not see the fruit that we desire to see, or we don't feel like we're changing, or we just do not understand how God is working in our lives. And we can get discouraged in these hard times because we're not seeing, we're not feeling, we're not understanding how God is working in our lives. But this morning, the Lord wants to call us back to faith. The Lord wants to call us to look past seeing and feeling and understanding and just take him at his word that he is, every day, he is working his good work in our life and that he's producing fruit. Also, sometimes there are things that just keep popping up in our hearts and we get discouraged. Certain things that we just struggle with that just keeps popping up in our heart and we get discouraged. And we begin to ask him, am I ever going to get past this? It's been so long, I don't think I'm getting any better in this area in my life. And we get discouraged because of that one issue that just keeps, that seems to just keep popping up. And we don't feel in our hearts that it's getting any better. But again, this morning, the Lord wants to call us back to faith. God is doing a good work. God is changing my heart. God is producing good fruit to his glory and his honor. God is faithful. Stand with me this morning.